Shalom, everybody. We're on. We're approaching the end of the third volume of Enaya on Masechet Shabbat. And the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Lamed Daled Amud Bet, is actually a halachic discussion. But Rav Kook, in his finest talents, gives the symbolic, hashkafic, or philosophic explanation. So let's see the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat Lamed Daled Amud Bet. Ezu ben hashmashot. What is the definition of sun? There's a period of time, I think in English it's called dusk, which is in between sunset and seta kochavim. Sorry, twilight. Okay. In between the setting of the sun, when you don't see the ball of the sun anymore, until the entire western side is already dark, which is called Seta Kochavim. So there are three opinions. What is this twilight period? What defines it? Ezu ben hashmashot, first opinion, Mishetishka hachama, from the time that the sun sets, kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimin, as long as the eastern side is still... still has some light there. Hichsifa tachton, velo hichsifa elyon, ben hashmashot. If the bottom part still has some light, then it is still considered twilight. But hichsifa elyon v'yishva letachton, zehu laila, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But when the entire side is dark, then that is considered night. Rabbi Nechemya, the second opinion, Rabbi Nechemya says, "Kedei shi'alech adam mishetishka chama chatzi mil." From the time that a person can walk, a half a mil is about a kilometer, and halachically the poskim say it's about 9 minutes. There is a 9 minute period of twilight in between the setting of the sun and what's called the three stars. It's not really three stars on Shabbat, but it's called the coming out of the stars. By the way, anybody who's lived in America or Europe and then comes on Aliyah sees that there's a very significant difference. Whereas twilight here, twilight in Israel, is only about 15 minutes. And in America, it's about 50 minutes. So, but the Gemara, Chazal are talking about here in the land of Israel, so that twilight, according to the second opinion, is about 9 minutes. By the way, there are those that say that walking a mil is 24 minutes. And, accordingly, a half a mil would be about 12 minutes, which is closer to the halacha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, a third opinion. Bein hashmashot keheref ayin. The twilight period is like the flicker of an eye, like blinking your eye. Zenichnas v'zeyotze. The day ends and the night begins. V'i efshar lamod alav. Man cannot see the difference. And Rav Kook is going to beautifully discuss the symbolism of these three opinions. I'll just foreshadow a drop. We all know that throughout the Tanakh, especially in the Nevi'im Achronim, the Latter-day Prophets, a light is likened to Ge'ula, when the Jewish people are in the land of Israel, and darkness is likened to Galut, to exile, where everything is dark. And even though the Gemara here is referring to what is twilight at the end of the day, beginning of the night, what is that twilight period? Rav Kook is going to also discuss that there is also a half-and-half period in sunrise between Amud HaShachar and Netzach Hama. There is also sort of a twilight period, just like there is at night, so too there is in the morning. And we'll see the symbolism. But just to summarize the three opinions, the first opinion defines twilight by the sky, by the light, which is apparently an objective explanation, something that's built into nature. The second opinion, that of Rabbi Nechemya, he measures twilight by how fast a man walks, again, which is more man-oriented. The third opinion is that mankind is not capable of seeing twilight, and only God can see twilight. Okay? Source number one. Rav Kook explains as follows. Ha-machaze shel hayom ve'alayla, the appearance of day and night, v'itchalfutam, and the transition between day and night. Here already he foreshadows where he's going. That even though the Gemara is talking about the transition from the end of the day to the beginning of the night, there also is that transition between the end of the night and the beginning of the day. Okay, so when there is this transition period, vayachas shebinehem, the relation between day and night, mazkir lanu gam ken et hayachas shel hamusar ve'anaga hakolelet hamatima le'ele shtei hatkufot biyichud b'matzava shel Knesset Yisrael. Rav Kook is saying this reminds us. It's interesting. He doesn't say it's the symbolism, but it reminds us of the two periods in Jewish history. When Am Yisrael is in the land of Israel, that is considered day. And on the other hand, night is when we are in exile. And the role of Knesset Yisrael, of the Jewish people, is a little different. B'shashi dome liyom be'et ge'ulata v'romemut karna, that when the honor of Israel has risen, and we have returned to the land of Israel, and we have self-respect, that is considered day. U'b'shashi dome l'layla be'et shifluta v'yiridata. On the other hand, when things are dark and bleak for the Jewish people, that symbolizes exile. Now, we'll already remember right away that the Navi Zechariah, when he talks about our time period, that we're coming back to the land of Israel, but we still have wars and difficulty and terrorism and corona. And we actually say this in the Haggadah, based on that pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, Karev yom asher lo yom velo laila, vayale terev hiya or. The day will come that it is not day, nor is it night, but it is twilight. There's transition period where as the night comes, it will be totally light. And we know night is darkest at the end. The Talmud Yerushalmi tells us that the Geula is like Ayelet HaShachar. When the sun, right before the sun rises, that is the darkest time of the night. And little by little, the sun rises. And again, this idea of sunset and sunrise is something that preoccupied Rav Kook in several different places. Just a famous story of a Jew who came to visit Israel from Germany in the 1930s. And he came to get a bracha, came to get a blessing from Rav Kook. And Rav Kook said, where are you from? And the guy said, Germany. And Rav Kook said, well, I understand that there are a lot of Olim who are running away from Germany since Hitler came to power in 32. And the Jew said, yeah, but you know, there are problems in Germany. There's also problems in Israel. You have problems with the Arabs and terrorism and the economy. And as a matter of fact, the economy in Germany is better than it is in Israel. So there are problems here, there are problems there. Rav Kook explained there's no comparison between the pains of birth and the pains of death. When a person is about to die, he has a lot of pain. But the same thing, as a woman gives birth, she also has a lot of pain. But I don't know anybody who would trade the birth pains for the pain of death. Similarly, Rav Kook explained, if you don't know which direction is east and which direction is west, and you see that there's a little darkness and a little light, you don't know if it's sunrise or if it's sunset. But again, explained Rav Kook, there is no comparison between when the sun of Eretz Yisrael is rising, and yeah, there's still a little darkness. We haven't achieved the entire redemption yet. On the other hand, in Germany, it is the setting of the sun, the end of Galut, which is approaching. So this theme, and Rav Kook is going to talk about that here as well, in source Bet. So what is the difference between the approaches regarding Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish nation, during day, or Geula, in the land of Israel, as opposed to at night, in Galut, in Chutz Laretz? Ha'evdel ha'yesudi ben shtei ha'tkufot, the main difference between these two time periods, she'be'et ha'ora be'et romemut ha'uma, that when it is day, when the light of the land of Israel is shining on the nation of Israel, ha'yesod ha'klali shela omed hu berosh, what preoccupies us is the national aspect. When we listen to the news, it's not about something happened in Chicago or something happened in New York, but it's something that happened to the Jewish people. And the national economy is my economy. And the national security is my security. And if Chas V'Shalom, a Jewish soldier is kidnapped, he's my brother. And we have to figure out what I can do, what each and every Jew can do on a national level. So the concept of nationhood, of being in the more communal or national mindset, that is what preoccupies us during the day, when we are in the land of Israel. We don't forget the individual, but the individual will find, when the world is running properly, the individual will also find his happiness, uchvodo, and his honor, ba'osher haklal. When it's good for the Jewish nation, it's good for me. And when it's bad for the Jewish nation, even if a person is making a lot of money or is healthy, he is very upset. In other words, during the day, when we're in the land of Israel, what really preoccupies us and should preoccupy us is the national collective issue. Az ha-matzav ha-yomi sholet. That is called day, because day is controlling it. Shedugmato bichlal enoshiyut shlitat peulat chayei chevra gdola, he, because it's not just that the Navi Yirmiyahu especially likens the geula to day. Rav Kook explains that day is when the marketplace is bustling, when people go to work, when society is functioning, when the Knesset is meeting, when the Prime Minister is meeting with other people, when people are demonstrating, etc., etc. That is the national functioning is symbolized during the day, because it really takes place mostly during the day. Ad shebolat el tocha et ha-tchuna yichidit shel chayei ha-prat. And it's so much so that a Jew who lives in the land of Israel, not only when he's in Sherut Lumi, she's in Sherut Lumi, going to national service for 2 years, or going to the army for 3 years, or going 1 month every year of your life to do Miluim service, and also your taxes are Am Yisrael oriented, and your politics are Am Yisrael oriented, and in short, Judaism is doubled when we are in the land of Israel. What the Navi, the prophet, calls day, because here, Judaism is not just a religion, it is really everything. It's also your nationalism, your politics, your army, your taxes, everything. Now, Rav Kook goes into detail on this topic even more in source number 3. Rav Kook here deals with a fantastic question, which I never dared raise until I saw Rav Kook raise it, because if you look in the Torah, heaven and hell are almost not mentioned. Tchiyat Amitim, the revival of the dead, are almost not mentioned. Mashiach is not mentioned. And why did I say I was scared to raise the question? Because the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin says that you have to believe that Mashiach and Tchiyat Amitim are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. And if it says so in the Mishnah, so we believe. And there are allusions to it. On the other hand, anybody who has learned the Torah knows that when it says in Parshat Bechukotai, in Parshat Kitavo, in Vayayim Shamoa, whenever it says, if you do the mitzvot, it does not say you'll go to heaven. And if we don't do the mitzvot, it does not say we will go to hell. It doesn't say you'll wake up in the revival of the dead, or you won't wake up in the revival of the dead. The whole issue of the revival of the dead and the concept of heaven and hell really appears after Galut Bavel. And the Bible critics, or the historical critics, the Talmudical critics, claim that this is some kind of foreign influence, that if you look in the Tanakh, we really don't talk too much about heaven or hell, and it really developed afterwards. And Rav Kook, as always, is going to deal with the issue, taking the issue by the horns, and he is super innovative in his answer to the question. So everybody understand the question? Why does the Torah not talk so much about heaven and hell, but it says if you do the mitzvot, you'll have rain, and you'll have a good economy, and you'll defeat your enemies, and there'll be peace in the land? Explains Rav Kook in source number two. Source number two. This is in one of his, he wrote, one of his letters. Shayesod ha-individuali, when the concept of individualism, lo yuchal le'olam liyot nishmat legamrei mikol ruach kabir uklali. Even when we are in a national-oriented time of history, the individual obviously is not forgotten. We all have a letter in the Torah, and Sefer Torah, which is missing even one letter, is not kosher. Every individual Jew has his unique spark of God. So the individual always is important, even when we're talking about a national period, day. Ela, shekishaklaliyut mitgaberet. But when the concept of nationalism and breaking out of our self-centeredness, to be altruistic, to be giving, to be selfless, to think of our nation, hu einenu nikar kol kach veino bolet. That is when the individual and the individualism is not so outstanding. V'chevan sha'klaliyut mitchaleshet az ha'agula na'aset yoter nikeret. V'hi mitmalet b'pidgamim u'bidrushim rabim. Rav Kook is explaining beautifully that when did the focus of Chazal, the rabbis, in the Talmud, in Pirkei Avot, in the Musar books of morals, when did the focus move from the nation to the individual? When we went to exile. Because in exile, the sun isn't shining that much. Umitchazeket makom yoter rachov betziura pratim arabim shenitalmu mehem chaye klaliyutam. And if we don't have to be preoccupied with Israeli politics and Israeli security and Israeli economy and Israeli everything, but if Chalila, a person is living in Warsaw or Bialystok or in Yemen, as individuals, al ken b'shkiyat shemesh ha'uma, a beautiful mashal, parable, when the sun of Am Yisrael sets, beruach geona nikvu alimudim shel chativat haprat, that is when we started talking about going to heaven or going to hell. Will the individual wake up in the revival of the dead, or will the individual not? When did we start talking about, when did the focus move to the individual? When the national, the sun of the nation of Israel, set. And then the smaller stars begin to appear. What Rav Kook is saying here is a very, very important idea. The concept is that what should preoccupy a Jew is the big picture. Is it good for Am Yisrael or not? And that's why when the Torah tells us, if we do the mitzvot, there's going to be peace in the land, there's going to be rain. It doesn't just rain in my yard. It rains in everybody's yard. The economy should be good for everyone. That is what should preoccupy a Jew. Or in the famous words of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the father of the modern Musar movement, he said, my fellow Jews' gashmiut is my ruchniut. Right? My fellow Jews' physical welfare That is my spirituality. And really, so what should preoccupy us is the nation of Israel. And even though there always was a heaven and a hell, and there always was revival of the dead or not going to the revival of the dead, that only became an issue when the Vahayaim Shamoa, when our national life as the nation of Israel in the land of Israel, when that sun set. As Rav Kook goes on to say, Kishraga Batiara, like when the sun of Israel is shining, it is like a candle in the middle of the afternoon. You don't need candles in the middle of the afternoon. You don't need to talk about heaven or hell in the Tanakh too much, because what should preoccupy us is it good for Israel or is it bad for Israel? Is there peace or is there war? Only when the sun set, and again, this is what happened when we left the land of Israel and went to Babylon, after the sun of nationalism, of Am Yisrael set, that is when we began noticing and being preoccupied with heaven and hell. And the truth is, when I was a kid growing up, if you would have asked me or any of my friends, and I think really any adult, there's an adult from Chutz Laretz, who asked me, he told me that we had this discussion in our family. Why do we do mitzvot? Is it in order to bring the Mashiach? Or is it in order to go to heaven? Or is it in order to get into Tchiyat HaMetim? And I answered him, D, none of the above. We do mitzvot in order to be godly. Yes, there is reward and punishment if we do or if we don't. But that is a side issue. What should preoccupy us is whether I am being godly and whether I am an active part of the Jewish nation. And again, when a Jew is living in the national framework and he's giving 3 years to the army and he's giving 1 month a year to Miluim and he pays so much in taxes in order to cover Jewish needs and Jewish health and Jewish economy and the Ministry of Religion and the Ministry of this and Ministry of that, Jews in Israel are pretty busy. And I mentioned this to friends in Chutz La'aretz because you have on two sides of the spectrum. I have Haredi cousins who, their Judaism is always looking for a new chumrah. I remember they told me about there's this new thing about not buying Coke in cans because you might have to tovel the cans and not to put chrein, red colored chrein on their gefilte fish because it might be tzovea, and even though that's very difficult. But on the other extreme, I have friends who live in America who are very active in the topic of Orthodox feminism and equal rights for women. And when I lecture to both groups, I tell them, you know why you are preoccupied with these details or those details? Because you're not living in the land of Israel. When you're part of national Judaism, you don't have extra time. You are totally preoccupied. That's why you ever notice Israelis listen to the news all the time. And because we are preoccupied with Am Yisrael. And we don't need to add more mitzvot because we don't feel that anything is missing because we're super busy with Am Yisrael and setting up new yeshuvim and absorbing new olim from Ethiopia and 1.2 million olim from Russia and agunot. And these are all our problems. So you don't have extra time to waste. On the other hand, on the other extreme, most of the women in Israel, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of children, we're busy with our families, we're busy needing two incomes, and it really does not preoccupy the women in Israel whether she's going to be chazan or chazanit, or read the Megillah or not read the Megillah. Those simply are not on the agenda simply because we don't feel that something is missing. These feel that somebody is missing, something is missing, and those feel that something is missing. But a Jew living in the state of Israel, in the nation of Israel, he is so busy and so preoccupied, we don't feel that anything is missing. And that is why Rav Kook beautifully explains, maybe let's just look in source number three, where Rav Kook in Orot also discusses the same idea. Again, what's the question? Why is Olam Haba, the world to come, and Tchiyat HaMetim much, or women wearing tefillin, same, right? Good example. Why are these ideas not mentioned very much in the Tanakh? So let us look where Rav Kook discusses this idea. And by the way, this is the central topic in our Enayat tonight. In source number 3, Rav Kook explains, Ota pratiyut, that individual orientation, individualism, hama'asit, shel shmirat Torah u'mitzvot v'dikdukein pratiim, which focuses, again, this is Galut Judaism, which puts all of the focus on this detail or that detail, or my personality as opposed to that other individual personality. These are the type of people who are preoccupied with, am I going to go to heaven or am I going to go to hell? Am I going to wake up in the revival of the dead or not? Rav Kook says, Habibi, that is not what is supposed to preoccupy you. That's only during Galut, during darkness, when we were sent for a 2,000-year seminar to focus on our individual spirituality. Asher mikedem nitgaltav nitkaima b'chayim mitoch hofa'at ha'idei Elohit b'tor nishmat ha'uma klalit, in proper, full, total Judaism, which is likened today, what preoccupies us is the national, is Am Yisrael. Uchlula haita bo tzara ha'elyon v'lo haita nikeret u'boletet klal b'fnei ora klali ha'gadol shel zo. Right? The light of heaven and hell is so small compared to the greatness of Am Yisrael and Knesset Yisrael, the revelation of the Shekhinah. Ha'idei Elohit ha'Yisraelit, the national revelation of God through the people of Israel and Jewish history. Kiner lifnei avuka ukeshraga betiara, like an individual candle compared to a well-lit room. You do not need to talk about the candle or be preoccupied with the candle, because you have a huge light of the flame, of the torch. And similarly, like a candle in the middle of the afternoon, you don't have to deal with the candle. And that's why, explains Rav Kook, why the Tanakh does not deal so much with heaven and hell, with Tchiyat HaMetim or not. Hi ha'chechela ata besiluko shel or haklali. Only when Jewish history, when our sins sent us to exile, and the klal, the bright shining light of day, of nationalism, when that set, be made by a sheni, during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, which also was not proper Judaism. The Jewish nationalism was very weak, and the Beit HaMikdash was missing the Kruvim, and it was missing the... There were a lot of things missing from the Holy Temple. And that is why Jews, for 2,000 years, were basically focusing on themselves. By the way, when you're on the run, the best way to deal with the goyim who are chasing you are to scatter in a lot of different directions. And that way they can't chase you. And I think I mentioned once that in my father-in-law's family, my wife's father, they were 5 siblings growing up in Poland. The oldest and the youngest were killed in the Holocaust. And the 3 who survived, 1 ended up in the land of Israel. My father-in-law ended up in America, and his sister ended up in Argentina. In other words, 3 survivors, all on totally different continents. And because that's what exile is about. Exile is dispersion. And our lives were basically, as individuals, we didn't speak the national language. We didn't live in the national land. We didn't have the national army. We didn't have the national coin. And all of these things put the focus on the small light of the individual and of heaven and hell. Okay, getting back to Enayah. Paragraph Gimel. We're running out of time. We're going to put a little speed on. Biridat ha'uma. When the nation, our Jewish nationalism, went down. Bepizura vehirusa. When we were scattered, when our nationalism was destroyed, Biibud Merkaza, when the center of Judaism, the land of Israel, fell, Hare, even if there were some Jews living here and there during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there was a very clear national center. But once our national center fell, Az Haruach HaKlali Nofel, our whole national spirit falls. Hashemesh Shokea, the sun sets, Va'ata Laila, and that is the night of Galut, of exile, of Jeremiah. Tachat Chaye HaKlal Shit'almu, Miyom Shecharav Beti Fartenu, in place of the national life which shines so strongly during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Ve'ir Shechubra LaYachdav. Notice the poetry, the symbolism of Rav Kook. Yerushalayim is called the city which combines it all together. It combines all the tribes. It combines the national capital with the religious capital and the universal capital. Everything is combined. That is nationalism. But when that sun set, Hine tzarich lagbil ketzad ruach haklali yored. We have to define what is night and what is day. And what is twilight? Kedei l'samena tatchumin. And here Rav Kook will already get into the symbolism orally. The idea that the... The idea that, according to the first opinion, that says that what is twilight? It is... You look at the sky, and there's a period of day, and there's a period of night, and there's a period of the transition from day to night at night, or from night to day in the morning. That is an objective period of time. That is the first opinion, which says when the sky is still red and there is light at the bottom, when it's... We're talking about, depends if you're talking about day or night. In other words, when the entire side is dark, that's already night. When the entire side is light, that is already day. But there's a time period where the bottom, is light and the top is dark. And Rav Kook is saying, what is the bottom? That symbolizes the physical needs of life. And there was even during the twilight time, when Am Yisrael was on our way to exile, our security already fell. Our economy already fell. The lower part, hold on, I have to let people in. The lower part of life, the lower part of life, the more physical element, that was already dark, but spirituality, we still had the temple, we still had the Sanhedrin, but eventually that also darkened. Conversely, when now that we're returning to the land of Israel, we have a period of time when the sun rises, first, the physical world, the lower side, is lit, where the land of Israel has returned to life. Kibbutz Galiot, the Jewish people are coming home. These are more physical, national-oriented, but we don't yet have the Sanhedrin. We don't yet have everybody religious. That is the next stage. But everybody understand? It is the exact opposite of that ma'avar, the transition from day to night. Today we are witnessing the night today. But notice the Gemara is talking about the transition from day to night, and that's why Rav Kook is dealing with that. But obviously he is referring to our times as well, which is the converse. The second opinion, that of Rabbi Nechemya, says that we're not talking about a period where the sky is dark, the sky is light. We're talking about how a man walks. Walking a half of a meal. That is what decides twilight. Rav Kook explains that, as opposed to the first explanation, which sees Pashut, there are different periods of time. The second explanation says, man has a mindset which can be either Galut mentality or Israel mentality. In other words, it's really up to us to be into that mentality. I'll just mention parenthetically that Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, even though he was in Galut, and he was in Germany, and he was an anti-Zionist, a lot of his Torah is already national-oriented, modern-oriented. But that's just parenthetically. So that's the second opinion. The third opinion, again, is how to define twilight. Rabbi Yossi says, it's not, don't look at the sky, that's not enough. Also, by how fast or how slow a man walks, that's not where it's at. What decides is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man, the exiting of the day and the coming of night, or vice versa, Zeh nichnas v'zeh yotzeh ve'ih efshar la'amod alav. Man cannot see the difference. Only God can really decide and to tell where exactly does day end and night begin, and where does night end and day begin. And what Rav Kook, as very often is the case, is explaining that all three of these opinions are important. They're all legitimate, because there are certain aspects of the Geula which are time-oriented. There is the concept of Be'ita Achishena. There is a time, a deadline, that even if Am Yisrael doesn't do tshuva by a certain time, Hashem is going to bring us back to the land of Israel. Why? Umevi goel livnei b'nehem lema'an shmo be'ava. Hashem is bringing us back, even though we're not so religious, because livnei b'nehem, he promised our forefathers, lema'an shmo, to stop the chilul Hashem of exile. Where was God in the Holocaust? To bring us back and to show that the God of Israel is alive and well in the modern world. Be'ahava. Hashem loves us. And a parent does not need an excuse why he wants his child to be with him at home. And so that is the first aspect of the transition between Galut and Geula. It's a period. The second aspect is man. Man's actions, we can decide if the Geula is going to go at a pace like this, or at a pace like this, or at a pace like this. And that depends on how fast we make Aliyah, and how fast we become more spiritual, and make the state of Israel, the nation of Israel, that much more spiritual. And I'm sure everybody here would like to see the Geula, not just the Atchalta de Geula. And why leave it for our kids or our grandchildren? Right? Once we're so close, why should we be suckers and miss out on the real, all of the goodness? So that is up to man. That's the second opinion, that it's man-made. The third opinion is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to run the show. Only he knows the relationship between man's actions and the historical need and the historical period, etc., etc. So we discussed tonight different aspects of the redemption, different aspects of the symbolism of day and night and the transition period. And also we saw Rav Kook's unbelievable answer. I've taught this, lectured on this topic. There are 7 or 8 different answers, but from my experience, Rav Kook's answer just blows people away. That the concept, why does the Torah, the Tanakh, not talk too much about Olam Haba, about the world to come, or heaven or hell? The reason is very simple. Because the Torah is teaching us, educating us, that what should preoccupy us is that it is good for Israel. If it's good for Israel, that's more important than if I go to heaven or hell. And this concept of when the sun is shining, we don't need to deal with little candles, but when Judaism went to Galut, to exile, and darkness started focusing on just on the individual, and that's when people started discussing more, why should we do the mitzvot? Go to heaven, go to hell, etc., etc. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, we are already on the right track of nationalism, of breaking out of our self-centeredness, out of our selfishness, to be part of something big, eternal, and historical.